God, giver of life and law, give us ears to hear your words of justice in this time and place that needs your goodness and grace. Guide us as we reflect on your word together and bring us to a deeper understanding of your ways. Amen. I love having experiences of greatness. Experience of people who have dedicated themselves to the development of a skill set that is difficult, that they've mastered so that they can make it look easy. When you see this, whether it's in music, in athletics, in art, the level of excellence that people can achieve, it's really quite stunning. One of my particular interests in this regard is with food. I love that the process of experiencing the technical execution that combines flavor and heart and the faithfulness to a certain tradition and also to ingredients that transports a person to a different time and place in the midst of being with friends. And if Robert Capon has anything to say about it, a healthy amount of wine to pair. And that all comes together in these great moments. I had one of these moments a couple years ago on Galliano Island. It was a partially frozen plum with a bit of savory cream topped with a crunchy piece of reindeer moss. It was amazing. It really was. And I'm sure you all have moments like this that you can recall. Maybe it's not with food, maybe it's with something else. But this combination of intention and execution that really creates something beautiful. This kind of merger of purpose and practice, of medium and message, is something that's been kind of popping out to me as I've been reflecting on these scriptures this week. We have in the gospel passage a call by Jesus to an extremely high level of righteousness and images of salt and light. In the Isaiah passage, we hear God nearly mocking people through Isaiah with missing the point of what fasting can do and be as a practice. I love that these texts are paired together today, and I want to reflect a little bit about how they might work together and what they might offer us in our struggle together to be faithful to the task that we've been given as individuals and as a community. In the gospel, we are presented with an idea of a thing not quite fitting nicely into the role that seems to make sense or is aligned with the purpose that has been found for it. Salt not being salty, or light being hidden and therefore not lighting. The task that has been set and understood for these items is not being fulfilled because of misuse. This is a passage that follows directly after the Beatitudes, wherein Jesus turns upside down the standard set of expectations and understandings of who and what for God's blessing is to be distributed upon. It seems to me that the context Jesus was speaking into, which was a common part of the broader story, that the standard way people were evaluating themselves and one another didn't actually participate in the overall goal of shalom and justice that God had. That the overly particular adherence to law for the sake of law was more a self-serving and social posturing than it was in service of the vocational call to be God's people in and for the world. Living into the law or living through the law was and is often a very appropriate way of expressing faithfulness. And at the basic level, law and even communal governing habits helped provide guidance for us all to become more who we want to be together. But when there is a disconnect between the promise of the law and how it functions or what it does in our midst, then we start to have a problem. If it's the law itself that has lost its saltiness, what use is it? If it was the law that is the light that is somehow covered up, how can it illuminate? The law itself longs for justice, and by our frailty, the separation is created and widened and often needs to be called out in order to remember the promise within. We see this in the Isaiah passage, and let me just read a little bit of that again. Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day, and you oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. And later it continues, is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Whew. Amazing. We need reminders like this when we have lost the plot, when we unknowingly allow the external and the quantifiable to be prioritized over the relational. We so easily mistake the action and the heartbeat. We mistake illusion for the real thing. We mistake high fructose corn syrup with honey. We conflate good intention for justice, and this we know is not a new thing. In thinking about this the last few days, I think for us in our age of you do you and the constant pull to lower our hopes and expectations within our relationships and also within the moral and ethical vision we hope for in our society, it seems like we're less likely to try and assemble experiences of righteousness through lists of right actions or adherence to a high level of formalized rules, though some do still. What seems to be more prevalent is a similar and perhaps a more devious misapplication that combines the right words and often actions without the follow-through of transformation. We appease our conscience with right words and the right retweets through participation in groups on the one hand, while simultaneously satisfying our shadow desires and our consumptive habits through the things that create the problems that we organize against, all the while lamenting the powerlessness and the paralyzation to affect any change against our big tech and multinational corporate overlords. Now, I'm not talking here about the seeming hypocrisy that get thrown out at people who participate in organized religious activities like a Christian community. What I'm trying to get at is a little bit deeper than that. It permeates our mainly white, mainly comfortable culture and society into thinking we're doing good, all the while reaping the benefits that keep marginalized groups on the margins. It assumes a default system of operations that maintains racial and socioeconomic injustice. This happens both on the individual level and on the collective level. And I'm talking off a lot to myself when I say these things. In the collective level, we adopt the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People but have a leader who's refusing to meet with the hereditary chiefs. We have a consultation process designed with criteria that cannot accept no for an answer, all the while seeing the importance of us as a society adhering to the rule of law. And we hear this call of God in the background. Is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice. We hide our light and we misuse the law to fulfill our own purposes and to increase our own benefit at the detriment of others. We've been confronted with this reality this week, and we've been made focally aware of it, of how the laws of Canada work to benefit the few while continuing colonization and the dispossession of Indigenous people of their land for corporate gain. The Wet'suwet'en Nation is protecting their unceded territory against a pipeline development, and many have been arrested, as it was with the Hudson Bay Company, as it was in Oka, so it is with Coastal GasLink. Senator Marie Sinclair has said that Canada has waged war against Indigenous people through law, and many of our laws today reflect that intent. As our knowledge about these things increases, about our past, about the veins of injustice that go deep into our collective system, so our policy and law and our habits must reflect these changes. One thinker I heard recently called colonization a sustained practice of denying relationship. We are coming into an age where our consciousness has outgrown our communal practice. And as we're becoming increasingly aware of these things, we must adapt our ways of being and relating to the world to accept and not deny the relational connection we have with the earth, with each other, with our enemies. And we must take the opportunities before us to live into the law of love. We are being called in this moment to embody the kind of upside down for the sake of the other life that Jesus shows us and that the world so dearly needs us to be. Now, I don't want to leave us all with the weight of all that is wrong in the world, and that we know a brokenness is so easy to see. And yet our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, Jesus says. But not by doing exactly what they were doing. Not by fasting for the sake of ourselves, or our insecurities, or our pride, which misses the point altogether, but by taking those opportunities to find those moments when everything might come together for the sake of the other. This can and must and will look like different things for each of us, depending on our life circumstance. We are each and will be this week presented with opportunities daily to live according to the law of love that has made its way into our hearts, in our work, in our relationships, in our coming and our going. We'll be presented with moments where our purpose can come together with action for the well-being of others. Maybe it's going down, contacting Jesse, get that spreadsheet, going down to the legislature and see how you can offer support to those who are doing direct action. Maybe it will be praying with your wallet and donating to the legal fees to support the Wet'suwet'en in their case. There's also a lot of solidarity letters that are circulating that can you sign. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe it's making a dedicated effort to change buying habits, to minimize impact on environment and supporting local agriculture, etc., that will then withhold the financial incentives that sustain a lot of unhealthy systems. Or maybe it's putting your head down to make sure that you can live to love another day. Maybe it's all, maybe it's none, maybe it's something totally different. The righteousness that we are called to isn't the quantifiable kind. It is in this combination of act and heart, of why and how, that leads to a more peaceable kingdom. It's about seizing those opportunities to combine purpose and practice and to craft moments of grace that can be little frozen plums in the midst of despair. When we're able to do this in small and significant ways, we enact a law that results in freedom, that participates in the fast that God chooses. And when this happens, if we take those opportunities on the various level and we combine them all together, This will be a powerful force of life-giving love. And that's the kind of hope that we gather to hear about. Amen.